This podcast is brought to you by Deepbridge Capital LLP. Deepbridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Welcome to this Deepbridge Discovery podcast. My name is Andrew Aldridge. I'm partner and head of marketing at Deepbridge Capital. The aim of these podcasts is to bring to life the people and the companies behind what Deepbridge do. In this episode, I'm delighted to be joined by James Lionheart, who's CEO and founder of Levatex Foams Limited, an investee company within the Deepbridge Life Sciences EIS portfolio. So James, thank you for joining us. As CEO and founder of Levatex, can you just tell us a bit about the background to Levatex and why you formed the company and what have you?
Sure, and thanks for having me. We started way back in 2016. So I have an existing business. We developed a sleep system that manages the posture of patients with complex neurological conditions.
Okay.
So if, for example, you've had a catastrophic brain injury or God forbid you suffer with MS or cerebral palsy, you've had a stroke. And I was approached by two neurophysios, had an idea for this product. And my background is really in making foam. So consumer-based foam products, memory foam and all the different foams, high resistance foam, etc. And so it was just simply an idea. It was a load of cushions. It was easy for me to produce. I did it. I then went on the road with them. And I think that was the sliding door moment. So I got to see the product that we made is an assessment-led product. So every patient we see is with a neurophysio or an occupational therapist or a consultant. And so I was physically in, you know, getting my hands dirty and really the, you know, the coal face.
Within the NHS, I assume, was it?
NHS and local authority. So community teams, community rehab teams, stroke teams, pediatrics, et cetera, et cetera. And then palliative care also.
Sure.
And wow, what an eye opener. Unfortunately, in the UK and probably globally, we are accountable only really for things like pressure injuries, pressure sores.
Okay.
And so the sort of the bedtime needs of a person are largely unmet because pressure trumps most other things in the eyes of, you know, clinical reasoning because it costs so much money.
Yeah.
But what we got to realize really quickly was that actually nobody globally considers sleep posture. Whether it be in the clinical world, whether it be in elite sports professional world, it's just something that no one's ever thought about.
Yeah.
And if you think about the fact that we sleep for on average 26 years, I think it is, out of 79,
yeah,
and we try to get to sleep for 7 years on top of that. So 33 years sort of.
I can relate to that 7 year period, definitely.
Yeah. As can we all. But I suppose the thing is, how do you attack the issues we all have with sleep? So I think there was a recent study by Siemens, I think, did one that said 70% of us adults have developed a sleep problem since the beginning of the pandemic.
Okay.
So how do we as bosses, as founders, as employees, sports people, doctors, nurses, whatever, how do we impact sleep significantly? If you consider the fact that within a sleep problem, it might be 50% due to corona, 20% because you had a barney with your partner, the children are in trouble at school, a bill you weren't expecting. There's a million reasons why we can't sleep. So there's a million reasons we can't impact.
Yeah.
But what you can impact is sleep quality and managing your nighttime positioning, your sleep posture is probably the single most significant intervention that's not being used on planet Earth right now. So I suppose really, you know, the beginnings of the business was essentially a case of, you know, this unmet need that no one realizes is even an unmet need. There's no evidence of it because we don't record our sleep and there's no accountability in local authority. What can we significantly do to change that? And I suppose the beautiful thing is that the canvas is blank. It's
not been done before. It's for you to build it, I guess. Yeah.
Exactly right. So, you know, we have a medical director, Dr. Alan Lieberman, and he is the consultant for chronic pain at Withenshaw Hospital.
Okay.
And if you ask any consultant in chronic pain, you know, what to sleep on, I'm sleeping terribly. I'm always in pain. What do you suggest? Because this is such a small body of evidence, the best answer they can give you is whatever makes you comfy.
Yeah.
And I would counter that point by telling you, Andrew, that I'm comfy right now talking to you. And you can see that my elbows are on the desk. I'm leaning forward in the most obscene daytime posture.
Absolutely.
Comfy isn't necessarily a marker. And I suppose what I've learnt in the last 12 years since we started the sleep system business is there's no expertise in this. It's me now that is educating local authority and training nursing teams and physio teams, OT. It's me that's going into universities and lecturing, because physiotherapy, occupational therapy, nursing, none of them, I don't think, maybe physio if you're on rotation, if you're lucky, have any modules whatsoever on sleep posture, which is crazy, right? So an occupational therapist whose job
something you do so much of the time. It's crazy, isn't
it? Well, as an occupational therapist, their job is to maintain your occupations, sleep being the single biggest one we do, and it's the one that we don't consider. So so I suppose I started the business as a business, and now it has become quite the mission.
A crusade, almost.
Yeah, you know, I want to, I have to say this, of course, but it's true. I want to make gazillions. I want to retire young. I want to, you know, all the dreams, live on a beach and leave the children at home, all the stuff that all parents want. But we're going to do that having made a change in the world. And if we can make meaningful change to the provision of sleep, posture and healthcare and use that as our lead point, and really what are we selling? It's this intervention. The good stuff will come. Yeah, I've never been worried about the success of the business. Always the success of the mission.
Yeah. Absolutely. Brilliant. So kind of since kind of starting out from those early days of kind of kind of speaking to clinicians and patients as well and things, how has the company evolved? And kind of, I know that kind of obviously COVID coming along kind of changed your focus slightly and you had to pivot the business slightly and things like that. Can you just kind of talk to us how the last kind of few years have kind of evolved the business?
Yeah, I think it turns out, I say this loosely, that Corona was the best thing that happened to the business. We certainly didn't think that in the moment. You know, that March lockdown, as you know, we were closing around with you guys. Yep. We'd just agreed pretty much to sign up with Dreams and Next and Ideal Shopping. So everything was working. All the sports people were going really well. And of course, like you say, you know, the big clangor comes. It was brilliant for us in as much as we had a second to breathe to actually digest what we'd done so far.
Yeah.
And most important, most significantly, I think the sliding door moment for the last 2 years, but the thing that's going to change the future of the business is an understanding that in order to make a meaningful change in this area of healthcare, we needed to work from the ground up, having worked from the ground down, from up down.
Sure.
For so long, working with clinicians, working with the Stroke Association, and it's case by case, it's patient by patient, and there's a lot of them, and so many more since the lockdown. So what we decided was, as a business, to launch a website, which has gone from strength to strength. It's going month on month, really nice increase. And to explain to the general consumer so that they could understand themselves. And that's helped everything. So, for example, when we see a patient and we prescribe a sleep system, we go back in and we train the staff. Now, rather than train the staff on a piece of equipment that looks alien to them, that's just another job and I'm just another pain in their backside, we start by asking them about their sleep and their sleep posture. And invariably, because we just did a YouGov poll to prove it, I think it said that 82% of us sleep in an awful position. It's a nice piece of independent validation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, and it's all common sense. Just for clarity, Andrew, whilst I, you know, clearly know my stuff and I'm asked all over the country, what I'm selling is just common sense and logic.
Yep.
And so to speak to people who, you know, have had children and have, you know, SPD or various, you know, various niggles on the back of their own able-bodied aches and pains and daily living, for them to understand that, for them to see the significant improvement in their own sleep, has made how to train the trainer, if you like, how to train the caregiver, to turn this into a much more human project rather than just how many pillows can you sell and how many sleep systems and what other positioning equipment have you got? You know,
well, I was going to say, if you get the trainer on board, then they're bought into it, they see the value, they understand the benefits of it, and therefore it becomes second nature for them to extol those virtues to other people, I guess.
Exactly right. And equally, you know, the mountain is so much more meaty to convince clinicians that have been doing it wrong so long.
Absolutely.
That they've been doing it wrong, you know. And I suppose I'm not here to call anyone out. I'm no clinician myself. You know, I'm a sleep practitioner and I've done all the various courses, but you won't see any of that on my CV.
Yeah.
My expertise is in, you know, touch and feel. You know, maybe we've seen 5,000 patients. And I'm not saying that anyone's done a bad job. I think that we are heavily underfunded. The NHS is overburdened for sure. And rather than sort of call them out and say what terrible job they're doing when they've saved all our lives for the last 2 years, it's more to say what, you know, what therapeutic services can be automated, can be standardized, can be, can we find sort of very simple methods and approaches in reducing those numbers, you know, and a half million people waiting for standard procedures, for example. Like, what are they doing now between now and their operation? Are they seeing physio? Are they taking pain medication? If it's any of those things, can that be improved just on the simplicity of the position they fall asleep in at night? That's it. Nothing more.
I was going to say, I guess, because the ultimate aim, I guess, for, you know, the nuts and bolts of why healthcare providers will be interested in this, it's about reducing people's stay in hospital and helping them recover quicker. I guess that's part and parcel.
The best bit about what we do, given that it's common sense, is that no one can question our approach. And so anyone who sleeps and has a spine can benefit from our mission, you and I included. Yep. So, for taking a patient as an example, the caregiver, the nurse will benefit because they might have had a slightly better night's sleep. They'll be on shift work. They'll be overworked. The amount of moving and handling will be reduced. And most importantly to us, but least important to many, the patient's experience will be so much better. Unfortunately, it doesn't quite work like that. So we did, last year we were approached by Lancs Teaching Hospital, by the intensive care lead. And he's also the honorary secretary of the Intensive Care Association. And he called us because they were at 300-something% capacity and they were spending hours repositioning conscious patients who had corona, were in an intensive care unit, and they wanted to get the patients onto their stomachs. If you're overweight with a CPAP hood on, fatigued and petrified in an ICU ward, it's the last thing you're doing. So we created a product, very, very simple product, very cheap to make, and you know, we produced it supremely quickly. And it got patients on their stomachs, their oxygenation requirements down immediately, their oxygenation levels up immediately. But yet we only sold 5 systems to one hospital.
Right.
And that's because the system doesn't quite work. But what has worked on the other side of that is, like you say, educating those that are, you know, physios, OTs, osteopaths in reselling our product, training students of physiotherapy and OT about the things that they need to consider, because I suppose a lot of these clinicians have been given a lot more work than they were originally signed up to do. You know, the amount of paperwork they have to fill, whose role is positioning, is it OT, is it physio? It changes postcode to postcode. So it's just not the way to do it. You know, the way to do it is to educate the world on a global problem, a global pandemic, which is sleep.
And I guess, you know, you've had, again, successes. You mentioned Dreams, Next, etc. You've had some significant successes on the consumer side as well as working with clinicians, etc. Kind of, can you tell us a bit more about some of those opportunities that you've had and where they've come from and how they're developing?
We went straight back to attack retail as soon as we could. We did a great partnership with Dreams last year. That's led us to, we've just signed a contract with House of Fraser and we're also supplying Next now. It's had pros and cons. So the pros, of course, were the brand elevation, working with the number one bed specialist, getting our name out there, having people having the opportunity to go and try our product, you know, touch and feel it rather than it be on a website. But I have to say that the relationship with House of Fraser and Next is far more suitable to our mission because we are brand partners. So we retail at our pricing, we market on our approach. Whereas Dreams, really, we were a wholesaler. And for a product like ours, when you're trying to disrupt a market, it requires exactly that. And whilst, you know, don't get me wrong, it was great to do work with, and they, you know, they definitely filled the war chest. So we're grateful for that. But I think really it's about finding people who recognize the problem and want to really solve it rather than just, you know, words mean very little nowadays. And I guess that's why we're having such success with the wellbeing side of the business, working with the big corporates, the banks, the insurance companies, because we can significantly improve people's sleep in one intervention. We can't come in and deal with the psychology of sleep and those that are insomniacs. But if you break down all the things you can't control in sleep and address the ones you can, not only do you see results quicker, it's far more liberating, because you're not looking to find a magic tablet on Amazon that doesn't exist. Yeah. There's no such thing as a perfect night's sleep, Andrew. You know that as well as anyone.
Absolutely.
You know, for a multitude of reasons. Changing, yeah, you know, changing on a daily basis. For me, at the moment, my sleep is terrible.
Yeah.
Should I be saying that out live and loud?
You can only solve what you can solve, though. Like you said,
I think the point is, so why am I a terrible sleeper? I've got four teenage boys, I've got two dogs, I've got my own business. There are a million reasons why I don't sleep, but I haven't had neck pain in 10 years. So I'm managing what it is that I can. And it's understanding what controllables you can control. And for us as a business, sleep posture is just that. It's so meaty. It has such an impact.
And what's kind of been the feedback from those corporate partners, those blue chips that you've been working with?
Well, HSBC told us that it was the single biggest webinar they did. And we had 200 people more than Joe Wicks the week before, and 150 people more than Chris Hoy the week after. And I put that down to two things. I put that down to, you know, the secondary point is that, of course, we're awesome. And the primary point is that, of course, nobody's sleeping.
Yep.
And so in terms of well-being and corporate well-being is that perfect example of where we're so relevant. Because as the company grows, there's a bigger prevalence of you know, people not showing up for work and mental health issues. And every global corporate and every global company really has addressed mental health. Their well-being budget is largely focused on mental health, which I, you know, I endorse, followed by exercise, followed by nutrition. And HSBC had done a global well-being snapshot survey and had 150,000 applicants who all confirmed that mental health, exercise and nutrition were 85 to 95% satisfactory.
Okay.
And sleep was 44 to 62%. If you don't sleep, because there is a direct relationship between pain, mood and sleep, then you wake up in a bad mood. And because you're in a bad mood, that's impacting your mental health. And because you're tired, you're going to go for sugary foods. Now that's just impacted your nutrition. And because you're tired, you can't be bothered to exercise. So that's affected that. And all of those things affect your mental health. But if you are to see any psychiatrist or any specialist in the mental health arena, the very first question you will always be asked is, how's your sleep? Every time.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense.
So it's that kind of vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is exactly that. But that vicious cycle can be reversed. So when you wake up in the morning, having not woken up stiff as a board with a terrible neck, thinking, oh, you know, I might have had an extra hour here.
Yeah.
And we had that with, I'll give you the perfect example. As you know, we've done a load of work with Team GB's Paralympic team and a load of the Olympians. I think we had 16 medals out of the Olympic hall. I think we had 80 athletes that we went with. And in that time, we did a bit of PR, and this lovely lady from about 10 miles away from where we work calls up to say, I've just been reading you in the paper, and I noticed that A, you are Mancunian, B, you're a startup, which is exciting, and C, that you supply Olympic athletes. And I am a former Olympian. And it turns out that this lady was the longest serving archer for Team GB. Most gorgeous lady.
Yeah.
She'd Anyway, so we have a chat and we try and identify what her problems are with the sleep. And she's got two main issues. Issue one is the chronic neck pain she has from the repetitive strain injury of the bow and arrow. The second reason she doesn't sleep is because her husband died in February last year.
Right.
Well, no pillow or clever wording from me is going to help that.
Nope.
And we went through that. I made that very, very clear. You know, I can't help with that side, but I can certainly help with the other. And the following morning at about 7 a.m., I get a text from her to say, I can't believe that yesterday I was having a coffee, reading about your company, and today I've slept for 6 hours for the first time in whatever it was, 8 months. Wow, thank you. And it was. I took my son to meet her, and she was an Olympic bronze medalist, and she was at the LA Games, the LA Olympic Games. So she had all her medals out.
Fantastic.
And all the paper cuttings. It was such a gorgeous day, and to bring my lad, you know, my third lad with me. But that's it. That is it right there. That is exactly everything in our business in an experience. Yeah, that's what we're here to do.
And I guess, you know, you've touched on it there, you're Olympians, etc. I mean, you know, your kind of your roll call of sporting ambassadors and users, etc. is kind of mind-boggling, to be honest. It's you know, it's as long as you can imagine. And can you just tell us a bit more about that and how you've kind of used that as a tool for the business, and also kind of, you know, as a window shop, if you like?
Yeah, I think you know, we'd been down this medical road for a while, and the average intervention in the NHS takes 19 to 21 years.
Right.
And anyone in your place will let you know that I'm a dog with a bone, and I haven't got that time to wait.
No.
So, thank you for that. So the plan was, okay, the people that we serve in the NHS have no voice. They have no capacity, generally speaking. Yep. These are patients that are bedbound, immobile, and largely have no cognitive function. So what's the next best area where people can actually tell the world what we've done? And of course, the obvious place was elite sport. And for me, the obvious start was rugby.
Yep.
Having played it as a kid at school, my former coach was Jim Mallinder, who was a famous Sale Sharks player. And I think he also was the manager of Northampton, maybe. But he went from being a school teacher at my place to, you know, quite a big wig in the rugby world. So we went to Sale Sharks, and they were lovely guys. They're really nice. And we did our first and only ever, not to be repeated, commercial partnership to get their name on the board. Whilst that didn't necessarily work as a partnership for us, what we very quickly identified was that we needed to not pay for it. Yeah. Not because we were tight, but because if people were going to take this intervention seriously, the argument is, well, if I help your athletes sleep better, why am I paying you for that? Doesn't make any sense as a deal. And since we've changed our way, it's changed the whole thing. So because we are now, you know, again, anybody with a spine that sleeps is our market. So the athletes are just the same as anyone else. There's nothing, they don't receive better treatment.
Yeah.
We make them sleep better and they perform better, and we evidence it. So it's led that Sale Sharks play, whilst it didn't necessarily work in you know, in isolation. I think we've got about 650 athletes with us now. But most exciting is that one of the clubs is actually doing quite a compelling piece of research with us and UCLAN around the impact of sleep posture and its significance in rest and recovery and ability to perform during those sorts of training blocks. Or classic races. So, you know, when they do Tour de France, Giro, Vuelta. Yeah. And that piece of research is just as compelling as the work we do in complex neuro. It's just that more people care, unfortunately, about what these athletes have to say.
And you get more clicks off it. You know, you get more kind of profile, if you like. It's
exactly right. And I make it very clear to them, you know, our mission is this. Our mission is to change the provision of sleep posture in healthcare. I will help you sleep and perform, but you've got to screen what we've done for you and let people know about the importance of sleep posture.
Yeah, I mean, because as you know, we work, again, particularly on the life sciences side, with companies like yourselves that are doing amazing things, saving people's lives, extending people's lives, speeding up treatments, etc. But generally, I think the thing that I've seen from any of our companies got the most likes and kind of social media retweets, etc., was Tom Curry using Levitex pillow when he went out to the World Cup with England. And it's things like that which, again, you're absolutely right. But that's the world we live in, where that's what people care about.
But it's, you know, Andrew, I think that, you know, you raise a really good point in an athlete taking their pillow as an example. And I suppose the two points I'd like to put across are these. The majority of athletes that turned up for the Olympics in Tokyo, having spent 5 years training. Now, ask any athlete what their macros are. They'll tell you they had 4 3-quarter-sized eggs at 7 a.m. with a dashing of salt. Ask them their personal bests, their seasonal profile. Ask them anything other than how do they sleep.
Yep.
And ask them what they sleep on. And given that, you know, you eat for 4.5 years of your life, you were in bed for 33, not one athlete that we've met since we started this project has a clue what they sleep on.
Yep.
So you've spent 5 years doing all these, you know, marginal gain things, and then you're going to Tokyo having probably been jet lagged, and you're sleeping on a cardboard single bed with whatever pillow you provided. And it doesn't matter whether you are, you know, 150 kilo category weightlifter or you know, a female long distance runner, you're on the same product. And that to me is, that blew my mind, frankly. And it's almost, it was nearly thought about. So Dave Brailsford, the cycling guy, years ago, maybe 20 years ago, had his cyclists take their mattresses wherever they went. So they took their old poor mattresses wherever they went. So yes, they got the element of
comfort,
you know, the environmental benefits. Well, yeah, the familiarity.
But no improvement.
But you can optimize. You can optimize sleep. What about that?
Did you not tell them to bring their own bikes as well at the same time? Is that, you know?
This is, again, you know, they take. We had one. We all had one cyclist before one of the classic races, who had to fly home with back spasm because he was on a, as he described it, a bed made from cotton wool. That when you lay on it, you fell down two floors of the hotel.
Yep.
And he came, you know, and in the week before he came home, he had osteos, chiros, physios. One guy said his shoulder, one guy said his knee, one guy said his back. We got him, our medical director got him into the Sports Performance Centre here in Manchester. And the guy walked in and the physio looked at him and said, "You've been on an appalling mattress, haven't you?" That was it.
That was it.
That was the diagnosis.
Yeah.
The guy spends $3,500 on his cycling trainers, but never considered the 50 hotels he spends a year in.
Yeah.
Never once.
Yeah.
It's mind blowing to me. He gets paid $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
But sleeps on a Dunelm or a Tesco pillow, whatever it is.
Other brands are available.
Correct.
So excellent. So kind of what are your kind of objectives or your hopes kind of the next 12 months or up to kind of 3 years? Kind of what's next for Levitex?
We have been working on 7 pieces of research. One was submitted just before Christmas. A body of evidence is vital to the future of the business. To continue the social side. So we've had a great success with social media, as you said. We launched a TikTok account. Don't judge me. And I don't dance on it, just for clarity. But my head of digital has chased me for nearly a year. You've got to go on TikTok. And to me, it was just children dancing. And it turns out in 4 months, we've got over 70,000 followers, all of which are 40 to 55 year old, predominantly women, all yearning for short form educational content in and around a better understanding of sleep. I think we've had 60, 70 million views of the videos. We've been picked up by Lad Bible, all sorts of press coverage. So to continue that, because it's going really well, and I like that we're not being as cheap as to sell pillows and mattresses on the platform. We're talking sleep posture. We're talking the only thing I know. But of course, the byproduct of that is sales all over the world already. We're getting weekly sales in America. We've just set up an American website. And the final piece to your question is to replicate what we're doing here in America. That's a big focus for us this year.
Yeah, brilliant. And I guess it's... I mean, just that some of the numbers that I know regarding your kind of the take up by Lad Bible of your TikTok video, etc., were just phenomenal. I mean, that kind of reaches kind of what marketers dream of.
Look, they approached us within, we launched the TikTok account, and within 2 months they wanted to, we had like 3 or 4 viral videos, like 4 to 6 million views of a video. So they contacted us and said, "Can we share your content?" You know, we'll think about it, but okay, yes, of course.
Playing hard.
And then 2 months later, what they did was, and what was brilliant about it, they must have done that the day before, and they hashed together 3.5 minutes worth of video content, one of which being a video that we'd done, you know, 2 days earlier.
Right.
So, yeah, our message is clearly resonating. The most exciting part of that is that 30% of it is US already, the audience.
Good.
So, It's a voice for the independent, I guess. You know, it's an opportunity to fight with the big boys without, like you say, without it costing a penny other than, you know, sweat equity.
Absolutely.
Which I've got bags of.
Brilliant. And I guess with these podcasts, we like people to know kind of a bit more behind the people behind our investee companies. So what's kind of, you've mentioned you've got 4 teenage lads, you've got 2 dogs, kind of if you get any personal time away from work, kind of what is your interest in your kind of personal life?
A lot of my personal time, if it's not work, is child focus. I volunteer for a number of organisations. So I am the vice chair of our local football, grassroots football club. We've got 35 teams. I set up the learning disability open age adult team about 7 years ago. So we have weekly games with the likes of Man City, and I think we're playing Wigan next week. So that's like the highlight of my week. I manage one of my kids' teams. And if I get a second after that, I'm learning the guitar.
Okay.
And I'm dreadful.
Excellent. Good. So what, do the family kind of shut you away in a room and desert you when you're doing that?
That's the beauty of working in an office. You know, when everyone's gone home, the only thing that's wailing is the cats, but it's it's fine. They don't tell anyone. But no, it's nice to have a little side hobby that's, is non-work.
Particularly when you're working as much as any kind of founder and entrepreneur does, then it's good to have that distraction just to kind of take your mind off.
Absolutely.
So the last question we ask our guests on the podcast is, if you are joining us at the Deepbridge dinner party, which three guests, kind of dead or alive, would you like to invite? Friends and families excluded. We don't want to offend anybody, but kind of who would you be inviting to the Deepbridge dinner party?
I think it would be wrong of me not to invite Eric the King Cantona. Simply because not only was he clearly a legend, and we can just discuss the fact that we got to at least enjoy the 90s, whatever's happening now is now. But I just would love to I'd be fascinated by him. He's clearly a genius, with his feet and his mind.
Yeah.
I'd like to meet Neil Young. He's one of my favorite artists. I've seen him several times, and he's quite subversive. That appeals to me. And I think I would have to bring my grandfather to the table. He came over from Germany in 1932 with a fur coat on his back and not a word of English, and set up a very successful furriers, which of course, no longer animal rights no longer is an appropriate thing. But he was quite the legend, very dapper. He could, he could fill a room and keep them all very concentrated on his.
Brilliant.
His demeanor. So yes, I think it would be those three. I apologise that it's not necessarily the most inclusive and diverse group of three, but
I think I think it's a very interesting three, and I think you'd have a great conversation. So great. Well, James, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate catching up with you. Good luck with everything at Levitex.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's
and thanks for all your support, I have to say.
We love working with you guys, and I think from our perspective, anybody listening or watching this, do check out Levitex social media, definitely, because they'll certainly learn a lot. And certainly, as you said, James, it's not just about selling product, or it's mainly not about selling product. It is about talking about how to improve sleep and everything that goes with that. So James, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in future Deepbridge Discovery podcasts, please email us at discovery@deepbridgecapital.com. This podcast was brought to you by Deepbridge Capital LLP. Deepbridge is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Please note that investments discussed are both illiquid and high risk and won't be suitable for all investors and should be considered as part of a diversified portfolio. The content of this podcast should not be construed as financial or taxation advice. We recommend investors seek appropriate professional financial advice. Any views expressed may no longer be current and may have already been acted upon.